we ask the Lord's blessing upon the Word of God tonight. You may be seated. Please turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and verse 1. My apologies to Brother Cromwell this evening for preempting him again. But I believe it's the will of the Lord. I'm entitling the message tonight, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon is yours." I got the message tonight as one of the brothers quoted that verse, read that verse, I guess, from the scripture as he was speaking, and that thing hit me. And I grabbed a piece of paper and I wrote down sermon, "Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon," and stuck up my Bible. I was going to preach it Sunday night, but I'm preaching in here tonight. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, I want you to relate this story to your own life. Because what I say tonight, what God said to Abraham and to Joshua, and what I speak to you tonight, is what God is telling you by His Spirit and by His Word. For these words are for us upon whom the ends of the world are come. And the identical thing is happening to us in a spiritual way that happened to him, the very same call. We have the same calling of Abraham, exactly, excepting in a spiritual way. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country." Now that's the first thing that God has to tell us. God promised Abraham a land which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't to find it in this earth, but he was to find it on the new earth. And yet there was a land in which there would be a measure of freedom and peace, but that was only to be a figure of that which was to be the lasting and everlasting inheritance of the saints. He was never to fully realize the promise that God made him on this earth. Although God gave him a grand promise that he'd be a father of many, of a great nation, and that he would give him all of that land, yet he never seemed in the natural to really possess all of that land. And you say, well, it was possessed in him through his children, and that is true, and that's true spiritually. But that wasn't true with him literally. And so the promise was one that he embraced afar off, and one that is yet to come to pass in its completeness. But now this is the first thing that God has to tell us, is get out of your own country. Now this not only speaks of getting out of Egypt spiritually, Babylon spiritually, and the Sodom and Gomorrah spiritually, but out of your own country, out of that, this is your country. You know how you think, what you do, your country. You know how you live, yourself, as Donna said tonight. Get out of your country. Get your mind into my country. Get out and from thy kindred. You not only have to get out of your own country, you have to get your life out from the apron strings of your kindred. You can't live for them anymore. You can't be letting them be your advisors. I am your advisor. I will be your king. I will be your only rule and purpose, cause and effect. And leave your kindred. Cut them off. And from thy father's house. You no longer can let your father direct you and go to Yale to please him. You've got to go to the New Jerusalem to please him. You've got to do what God wants you to do. You've got to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You have to leave not only your natural father as that which will be your father, for there is one which is your father, which is in heaven. And then he will be your father, because you are now a spiritual son with a spiritual father, and you will know no man after the flesh. And I know that I'm taking this scripture out of its literal context, but I'm applying it in a figurative spiritual way. So call no man father. He didn't even say on the earth, although in the natural that's what he means. But in the spiritual, he means more than that. He means call no man father, only one, him above. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And we are now born again. So we know no man after the flesh, and we only see him. And so we only have one father now. We don't even have a father after the flesh. So we're like Jesus, who said, when they said, your mother and your father and your brothers are wanting to talk to you because the press they can't, he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my father? See? All of a sudden, he is saying, I know them no longer after the flesh. And I have one who is my father. And I do always that which my father tells me to do. And so with us also, because we in the spirit walk, we do what our father tells us to do. And the scripture calls him the father of spirits. And we are the spirits, and he is the eternal spirit, and he is the father of spirits. And since the spirit is to rule the soul, which lives in this body, we therefore get our directions from our father, and there's only one father, the father of spirits. Since we are no longer living a soulish life, and to go to our earthly father, but a spirit life, so we go to our heavenly father. And I just got all that just now, I want to know. I was telling you. And then, in verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. And the great nation that would come from his seed and finally build is the man-child, who we read that a nation born in a day. Now it's true that Israel came from his seed and became a great nation, in a sense, and for a time, and in a limited sense, and for a temporary time, particularly under David and Solomon. But more in the millennium, but even more spiritually, as we become that great spiritual nation under God. And of course, we could talk about the New Jerusalem, that city which he was looking for. But he shall be there too. And I will bless thee. I will bless thee with my own presence and my own sustenance. I'll take care of you. And I will make thy name great. And he makes our name great because it's all to the glory of God. Because we that are baptized have taken on Christ. We've been baptized into Christ. We have taken on his name. And even as Jesus manifested the name which was given him, and so we also, as sons of God, manifest the name given us. And when he makes our name great, he's making his own name great, because it's all to the glory of God. And then he says, and thou shalt be a blessing. You can't be a blessing to others until God blesses you. You have to first be blessed. That's why we say we like testimonies from those that have been blessed before you haul off and try to bless somebody else. And that's why I don't particularly care if a testimony is to get up and tell everybody all the problems, but I'm still struggling, I still believe God, and you go on down. You haven't been blessed, and you've blessed nobody by your testimony. All you've done is gone up and show your hunger. You told them how hungry you were, how starved you were, how lonesome you were, how much crying you did, but you did not bless anybody. You can only bless them if you have been blessed. Then they can have something to look toward. You have given them nothing to look up to. You have given them no example. You've given them no hope. You're only crying. You only feel like saying it because you feel hungry. So just wait until you're blessed, and then you can bless others. And then we read in chapter 17 and in verse 1, you see, many people testify because they feel something on their heart to share rather than being cognizant of the fact that they have a blessing to impart to others. There's a difference. And feeling emotional because you feel hungry and you feel desperate or something, is a great strength you can hardly forbear. And to speak helps give you a little bit of a safety valve and get a little bit of the steam off, but it doesn't bless and edify the assembly. Please be aware of that. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. There comes a time when we have to learn that He is Almighty and that He doesn't need our help and rationalization to do His job. And that He doesn't want us to question Him because He is Almighty. And if we are going to walk by faith, we're going to have to know that He has all might. And we're going to have to depend upon Him and lean upon Him and look to Him because He is Almighty. Walk before me is the next thing He said. We are going to have to come to a place where we quit walking before other men. I walk before Him, and I'm walking before my supervisor and people on my job, and then I come and I walk before people in my dormitory, and then I walk before the school officials, and then I walk before myself, and I walk before my parents. But God says, I want you to walk before me. Let my eye be upon you, and you walk with the cognizance that you're under my gaze, my direction, my orders, and my control. And don't walk in front of anybody else, just walk in front of me. I am Almighty, I'll take care of you, I'll bless you and make you a blessing. And be thou perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, as Jesus said. Now, Jesus gave the solution. He didn't just give more of the command. It sounds like it. He said, be perfect to Abraham. Jesus said, be thou perfect even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Oh, He heightened it. No, He didn't heighten it. It can't be any more perfect than perfect. He just gave the solution. He just said, you be perfect. And then, you see, even as He is perfect, which gives you the hint that if you're going to be as perfect as He is, He must going to be living in you. He must going to be the one who's perfect in you. It's not going to be looking to yourself, but into Him, and it's going to be appropriating Him. It's going to be no longer I, but Christ. And who is Christ, but God in Christ, God in the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh, the perfect Son, doing only that which His Father gave Him to do, speaking only that which His Father gave Him to speak, and only doing the will of His Father. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. Now, He did not say that I will make up a covenant. He didn't say we'll have a... He said, I will make my covenant. Not I will make a covenant, but I'll make my covenant. You see, He has a covenant already. But if you'll walk before me perfect, He'll make that covenant. He'll make it come to pass in your life. He'll put energy into that covenant. He'll keep His part of it. He'll see that your part comes to meet His part, and the effect will be there in your life. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. You shall be multiplied many times. You'll find that as you listen to a testimony from the platform that they are bringing forth Mike Saban, Earl Failor, Don Barnett, Jack Hicks, Julie Powell, Barbara Barnett. They are bringing forth you. As you hear somebody witnessing, you see yourself multiplied in them. As you see your converts doing things, you see them multiplied. I have seen myself multiplied in my wife. I have seen myself multiplied in the Bible college teachers. I have seen myself multiplied in you. I have heard myself multiplied in Russ McKenzie over the radio. My wife said, he sounds just like you. And you have seen yourself, those Bible college students have seen themselves multiplied. My father saw himself multiplied in me. And you're seeing yourself multiplied in others, who are seeing themselves multiplied in others. And if I'll bless you, I will multiply you. Now, yes, not only physically, not only the lambs will bear, sheep will bear lambs, but you'll find yourself multiplied in them. And what you see multiplied is God in you, is that righteousness of Christ and the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God, everything that you need that's so wonderful that they emanate is God in you. And so actually when you get through, when I will multiply you, he's just saying I'm multiplying myself in the earth. And Abram fell on his face. That's the next place we have to be. And God talked with him. When you're on your face, God can talk to you. Sometimes we've got to get off of vertical and get on our face. I'm not just saying positionally. I'm not just saying that if you can kneel down and fold your hands, or if you can lay on the floor, on the carpet, things will get done. I'm talking about in your heart. I'm talking about that brokenness before God. I'm talking about that place of recognition of who you are and who the Almighty Sovereign God is. And you get on your face and become willing. You become willing. You become contrite. You have opened yourself up to God for whatever he wants. And instead of saying, now, Lord, don't do this to me. Now, please do this. Now, Lord, oh, please, Lord. But you're saying, do with me whatsoever thy heart desires. Like Eli said to God. And in the position that he was in, that's quite a marvelous prayer. And then, my last scripture is Joshua 1:1. Someday I'm going to preach a message as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea. Stars and sand, but not tonight. Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, took his place, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over Jordan. Jesus Christ, the greater Moses, is dead. Died for your sins, buried and rose again for your justification. Now, therefore, arise and go over Jordan. Now go over and take the land, because Christ has died. Every place, and this gets down to the title of my message, right down to this is my text and the apex of the sermon. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I want you to know that he said, every place, now you come to a land that lays before you, great Canaan. Every place that your sole of your foot treads on, I will give you. He did not say, the land is yours by faith. He did not say, if you can believe it's all yours, it's yours. He didn't say, if you claim it all, it's mine, it's yours. I claim it all in the name of Yahweh. No. He said, every place that your foot treads on, I will give you. He didn't say, I'll give you the land so that your foot may tread on every place. He was saying that every area that you walk on, put your foot on, stand on by promise, move out by faith, and take a walk on, I'll give it to be your possession. I'll put it under your foot, and you will have it under dominion. Now, every place that your sole of your foot does not walk on will not be yours. And so Abraham had to do more than stand and look out over the land and say, well, praise God, I'm here now, out of the Ur of the Chaldees. This is all mine, given to me and my seed after me. And Joshua could say, yes, even as you've spoken to Moses, even to Abraham, this land is ours. But he had to walk in on it. He had to go out. What are you doing, Abraham? What are all these journeys you're taking? I'm securing the land. Well, how are you doing that? How does that secure the land? By faith. I am claiming it. I'm stepping out on the promise. I'm securing it. There were giants in that land, my friend. He had to put his foot on giants' territory. He had to put his foot right there on the land of the merchants. But when he went out, and this is what we have to do spiritually, every place you put your foot on is yours. If you capture a king and you make him bow down to the ground and you put his foot on his neck like they did, he's yours. That shows he's yours. He's under your foot. We shall tread on scorpions. The Bible said. And he's talking about demon forces. We shall trample on them. Put your foot on them. You put your foot on that demon, he's yours. That is, he's under your control. That is, he's your captive. But if you don't, you have not gained control over him. You have not lost the victory. You have areas out there in your life, and giants are there to scare you. And if you look with a natural eye, like the 10 spies, you will say, surely, I cannot take these big walled cities and these mountains and these giants. Surely the devil is stronger than I. Surely this lust is stronger than I. Surely this marriage schism is stronger than I. But if you go out and put your foot on it and get out and walk on it and say, in the name of the Lord, I appropriate it, and I walk right out on it, and I take control over it in the name of the Lord, and begin to speak the word of God over it. I begin to put in legs to my prayers to walk on it. I claim it. I claim the peace. I claim the lack of schism. I claim love to come in and replace that which is not there. I claim all these things, he said, and I will give it to you. Not necessarily the moment you put your foot on it, but I will give it to you because by faith you're claiming it in my name and it's my good pleasure to give it to you. Until all the land shall be yours and not a giant will be left against you. That is what God is telling us. And that concludes my message this evening. Every place that the sole of your foot treadeth upon shall be yours. And with fear, you will not go out and do that. With lethargy, you will not go out and do that. If you're lethargic. But if you will arise and by faith appropriate his promise, step out in God and begin to take the land that he has given you victory over on Calvary. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In this world you shall have tribulation. In this world you shall have the Anakims, and you shall have the Jebusites, and you shall have the Philistines. But be of good cheer. I have overcome them. Walk all over them, and they shall be yours. Man is born into trouble, as the smoke or the sparks fly upward. But I will give you the inheritance if you will but walk on it. I send you out as sheep among wolves, but walk all over the pasture land. I'll protect you from the wolves and give you all the land, and the wolves won't get it but you, for the meek shall inherit the earth. And they that have a meek spirit shall inherit all things. Now I better not get into my restoration ministry. Praise the Lord. Would you stand, please?